This is Dr. Herbert L. Byerly, Dean of the University of Healing, with 2010 London Symposium. Proposition. Philosophers argue among themselves over truth. Philosophers argue among themselves over truth. Why do philosophers argue among themselves over truth? Well, if you listen to them, they're not really arguing so much as what do you say they're doing?
They're sharing.
They are revealing.
That's even better. They're revealing what philosophy means to them. Now, this is a rhetorical question. What does philosophy mean to you? What does philosophy mean to you? Does philosophy mean to you that it is the act of somebody else's thinking and you are basing your thinking on their thinking? Like whatever Schopenhauer thought or Socrates or Plato or what these other great philosophers have thought, and you've read about them or heard about them, and they say, thoughts are things. Yeah, I believe that. That's great. That's a good idea. Well, okay. So then you go around saying, Schopenhauer said thoughts are things. And I believe what Schopenhauer said. Schopenhauer said thoughts are things, and it's a good thing because thoughts really are things. And then you grow up. And when you grow up, you say, thoughts are things. Really? Where'd you get that? That's what I believe. I believe thoughts are things. I believe that every thought I think results in a fulfillment of itself. Whatever its purpose, whatever its reason for being said is, that's what happens for it to be. Because every thought is a thing. Well, now, that's just a lot of words. By reiterating them all the time, you're just being redundant and you're just making the word define itself and support itself, and that's not really a very intelligent thing to do. What do you mean it's not an intelligent thing to do? Well, because when you define a word with a word, you're making a person look it up in the dictionary themselves and you're making a person come to conclusions themselves. Not true. Is that so bad? No. Okay. If I say to you, thoughts are things, and all you have to think about is, where did I get that phrase? Why am I using that phrase? To what benefit am I using it? Am I trying to manipulate you by using that phrase? Am I trying to be superior to you by using that phrase? See, all these things, if they go through your mind, then you are arguing over the essence of philosophy. You're not arguing philosophy. You're arguing over the essence of it. Now, if I were to say to you, you know, I like my time of meditation and introspection. I really like it. Nobody can argue that. It's my business. I like the time. And when I'm in my meditation time, I'm thinking, well, let's see now. There are many things that could be improved in this world, and I should really think about them. I should really give them some thought. And then I think to myself, no, why should I give thought to the limitations of the world, since that's not what I want to bring about, that's not what I want to encourage. I want to encourage the abundance of the world. Now there's peace on earth, and it began with me, for peace. Now there's abundance on earth, and it began with me. In my thinking, I see every person on the face of the earth enjoying all the abundance that they wish, and yet I see every one of them without any money. I see every one of them having anything that pleases them, enjoying anything that pleases them. The little boy, Ibube, he got, what is it, $20,000?
20 pounds.
Huh?
20 pounds?
Thousand.
Oh, thousand. Oh.
Yeah, I thought I said 17,000, but he got $20,000 from his uncle who passed away. Okay. What was his thought? 20,000 pounds is going to buy quite a bit of stuff, isn't it? What's he going to buy? He could buy, a house, a small house. It could buy many cars, different types of cars, expensive ones, the cheap ones, you know. It could buy clothes, it could buy refurbishing the inside of your house somewhat, it could do many, many things, you know. But what does he think about? He thinks only about enjoying his Nintendo game. And he is only thinking about taking that money and getting himself a nicer Nintendo game, you know, with a longer playing battery to it and so forth. And it's not a big deal. If he doesn't have it, he still has it. In his heart and soul, he still has it. But if he doesn't have it in fact, he still has it. But now he's going to have it in fact. He didn't think about it up to that time because it was not something that he was encouraged to think about. He was encouraged to think about spending some money because he now had that physical money there to spend. Before, he had everything he wanted. He didn't really need to spend money, you know. Every time he turns around, his mother buys whatever he wants, or his grandma, or his auntie, or whatever, you know. Every time. It doesn't matter what. It doesn't matter what. And so he has no need in this consciousness for it. So he gets this abundance, and he goes and buys his toy. And it's very nice. So now, you and I are philosophers, and so we're talking about everyone on earth is sufficiently endowed with all the good things that make them happy. Everyone on earth is now endowed, that means they have it, with all the things that would make them happy and fulfilled. Everyone on earth is now endowed with all the things that make them happy and fulfilled. Now, what would make you happy? Food, clothing, housing, having whatever your mind happens to think about, you know. Okay, now, how is that going to reveal itself? How is that going to come about in your world? How are you going to experience that in your life when you don't have it now? And how are you going to experience that? Well, you start visualizing yourself enjoying it. You start visualizing yourself using it. You don't go out and buy it. But you start visualizing yourself. Ibube and visualized himself riding on that bicycle because he had ridden on it once. So you visualize yourself having a beautiful new car that is built for the roads on which it would travel. You know, maybe a nice Land Rover. You know, Land Rover is well built. Whatever. And some nice car that would stand up to what you want. Or maybe, if you are a good visualizer. Do you think she's a good visualizer?
She is.
Maybe if you're a good enough visualizer, you'll just visualize yourself sitting in your living room and in your lovely chair and reading, and then you say, I think I'd like to go and have an ice cream, and I will go to the ice cream store. And so you visualize yourself and with like a snap, within the snap of your finger, not with the snap of your finger, but within the time it takes to snap your finger, you are no longer sitting on your easy chair, but you're there in the ice cream store. That's not a bad idea, huh? Cool. Okay, now, is that possible? Where's the money coming from? Where's the money coming from? To buy your vehicle that's going to take you to the store. It's the value of your mind. It's true. Now, so you get in the store. Oh, Sybil Gabo, I haven't seen you in a long time. I'm so happy. Let me buy you an ice cream. What kind would you like? You just sit down and I will give you my favorite, you know. And so you sit down and this person comes over and brings you this heaping favorite, you know, much larger than you want. And so you sit there and you nibble at it and you enjoy it. And you think to yourself, this is much more than I want. I'm satisfied. So, again, within the snap of your finger, you're over in the dress store picking up a new dress that you'd like to have. Or you're some other where. Now, is that so stupid? Is that so strange? Where's your money? Where's your checkbook? Where's your credit card? Now, you go into the store, and in the store, they say, "Oh, Mrs. Agabua, I haven't seen you since Sam passed. It's been a long time now. How are you doing? You're getting along just fine. You look so beautiful. You must realize that Sam is doing what makes him happy, and you released him and let him go, and you are just so content. You have such an angelic look on your face and such an angelic attitude about your body. You are so beautiful. Miss Agabo, would you please do me a favor?" And you say, "Well, of course, I'm happy to, you know. Would you please check whatever dress you choose from our stock here, and whatever type of coat you'd like to have, and all of the paraphernalia to go with it, and maybe one or two sets of it, and would you wear that as you go around in the various places that you go in town, and people will know that it came from our store, and you would be the best advertisement you could ever. Would you go? You don't have to say you got it from us, but would you go and just wear whatever it is you like from us? If you must." if you insist, I'm happy to do that. And now, that's not impossible. It's impossible in the past because you could not visualize yourself doing it, and you would say no to a person who offered you to do something like that because you'd say, "Oh, you can't afford it, or that's not nice, I don't want to be obligated to anything." You're not obligated to anything. Because whatever is given to you is given to you because you are you. You've already paid for it because you're you. Now, that's just a little illustration of how you get things and you have objects and so forth without having a lot of cash. You don't need the cash. Do you think Bill Gates needs to carry cash with him?
No.
Not at all. People, "Bill Gates has hamburger here." You know? And you give it to him free. Give him a dozen for his whole entourage, you know? And, "Bill Gates bought his Levi's here, you know? Or Bill Gates bought his shoes here. This is the store Bill Gates shops in for his shoes, you know? Wow-wee, you know?" And you can say that, and you don't have to ask Bill Gates permission, because he did buy them there. He did. You got their sales receipt here. We'll put it right in the front window. Bill Gates shoes. And you see, how would you know? Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that fantastic how these things can work out? How these wonderful, charming mysteries can come about where you think to yourself, "How could it ever happen to me? How could it ever happen to me that I would say to myself, 'All right, Herb said he wanted me to come over and visit him on campus. And Herb said that come anytime, and I can take from any of the houses that I want. Well, I really want the Shangri-La. I really want the Shangri-La because it's so much that I could do there. And so, you come over, and you know where all the keys are kept, and you probably even have a key ready for campus, you should. And so, you come over there, and you're ready to come. We pick you up at the station, or you levitate directly to campus, you know. And so then you go into the Shangri-La, and you look around at the Shangri-La, and you see it with your lovely eyes, your creative imagination, and you see the building first sound throughout. You see the wiring sound throughout. You see the plumbing sound throughout. You see the heating sound throughout, air conditioning. You see all sound throughout, proper type of tubes and what have you. And you see the living room as a beautiful living room, whatever style you choose to have, and the furniture, whatever furniture you have, and the whole thing, zoom, 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 the whole house. We would come over there and we would not be surprised. Why would we not be surprised?
Because it is already.
I'm saying, yes, it is already. But why would we not be surprised that she made that change?
It says it's already.
Because
visionary.
I'm sorry?
She visualizes
and brings it. That, yes, but that's its original purity and integrity, and that's how we always saw it too. But we didn't see it with enough pizzazz, as you did, realizing it, demonstrating it, revealing it fully. But see, you revealed it fully because that's the way you handle things. And so you have this place dressed up so beautiful, and right now it looks just gorgeous. The outer grounds are all mowed, and the green grass is coming up, and the little pond is so lovely. It's just magnificent. I know, I'd just love to live there too, because it has such a charm about it. But with a little upgrading, you know, the things being done to it, you know, it would just really be fantastic. Now, you see that, now you could have the oasis, which is a beautiful, lovely building with nice tile floors and other things to it, in good condition and so forth, you know. But it lacks somebody's real love. It lacks a feeling of somebody caring about it. We had different people staying in there during retreats and during seminars and during things like that, but they didn't leave their love there. They didn't leave their charisma, feeling of harmony and happiness there, you know? But somehow, in the Shangri-La, even though the couple who lived there with their family were kind of a tough couple, you know, they must have had a real love, because that love just continually circulates through that entire building. Continually. Well, now, you put a cause in motion, and you choose to come visit us. Well, now, you're not going to stay in any old place before you even get there. You know what the Shangri-La is like inside. You bring it back to its original purity and integrity, which is your original purity and integrity, not somebody else's, you know. And you make that fireplace, that living room, that allness, make just so glorious. Maybe the house squeezes out a little further too. It doesn't have to, but you could. And you could do all that to it. And then when you come there, it's all ready for you. Now, maybe you want to be alone. Maybe you want to bring Chrissy. Maybe you want to bring Ibu Bay. Now, if you choose to come and bring Chrissy, Chrissy will have to take the airplane. Or will she? Will Chrissy levitate like you do? Will Chrissy manifest herself? And will she manifest herself from her job with the time to take off? That's up to Chrissy. If Chrissy wants to feel that job manipulates her and controls her life, it will. But if Chrissy says, they pay me an excellent salary, and they pay me a salary for management, for managing the whole operation there, and I am there when I want to be, and I'm not there when I don't want to be. I go to conferences too on learning how to manage and stuff like that, because that's fun. And I levitate and go there, you know. And so, that's her choice. That's her choice. Now, Chrissy could create herself without a job, not needing a job. You know, and traveling wherever you want, whenever you want, doing the things you want, whenever you want to do. But she doesn't do that because she thinks she needs the job. She thinks she needs a job. And now, Chrissy could marry some guy who could die just after they get married and inherit all of the millions and billions that he has, you know. But that's not what you want. You want that you are, what?
I am the cash.
Huh?
I am the cash.
No, you're not the cash. You're not.
I'm unlimited.
Yeah, but you see, I want to get you away from independently wealthy. I want to get you away from cash. I want to get you away from airline tickets. You see what I mean? I want to get you into the idea of thought. Your thought moves you anywhere you want to go. Now, you may not be ready for this truth about yourself yet, and you're going to argue this philosophy until you're blue in the face and say, well, I can't get on the plane, I haven't got my ticket, you know, I can't do this because I can't do that. Sylvia was talking to Gertrude Suter in Switzerland, and Gertrude was saying, well, I'm going to go and have a good time on campus. Are you coming, Sylvia? Oh, I'd love to come, but I can't. And Gertrude said, well, I bought 3 tickets for my 3 kids, my son, 2 sons and daughter, and they were going to come with me, but one son couldn't come. He's got work that he won't let him go. You want to use his ticket? I mean, I got the ticket. I don't know what to do with it. You want to use it? Oh, yes. Now, she was thinking of coming. And she was thinking that she will be there and it's done, and not thinking how or where or what, and click, there it was. Now, that's a picture you can look at and see. Okay, now, that's stupid, because she used somebody else's ticket. It wasn't her ticket. It's okay. It's okay to use it, you know. But that's because you're only developed that far in your consciousness. Now, you want to be developed in your consciousness where you demonstrate your ticket, or you demonstrate yourself there. You teleport yourself there. Now, all those things are okay. But sitting on an airplane for 11 hours is not always too cool, you know. And of course, you can demonstrate yourself in first class, but why demonstrate yourself in any class when you can demonstrate yourself where you want to be? Yeah. What are you doing when you're riding in the airplane? You're not really, except for reading and looking at television or whatever, you're not doing anything significant. You're just sort of wasting your time. If you were sitting in deep meditation, if you were sitting in introspection and really doing that and not letting anything disturb you, not even letting them serve you food, not having to go to the bathroom or anything like that, you know, it works fantastic. But whereas philosophers are always fighting about themselves, always arguing about these things because they think they know best. What is true philosophy? Living what you believe. Socrates was put to death for living what he believed. Now, not that what he believed he was put to death for. He was put to death for what they thought he did that he didn't do. They thought he didn't live his philosophy, that he didn't believe it. That's what they thought. And because they thought that, they demanded of him the ultimate call. And he could have easily evaporate himself from that. I told you the story of the Russians fighting in the Himalayas near India, and they came across this band of Hindus. The Sufi Hindus were up in the mountains there, and they were treating and doing their prayer work and stuff. And the Russians came along and said, "Okay, line up." And so they lined them up against the wall. And one guy says, "Just a minute, I want to go get my shoes." And so he went and got his shoes, and he came back out. He could have disappeared. But he came back out and stood there with everybody else, and they shot him. Bam! And they were dead. They were dead, as far as the Russians were concerned, because they were just full of bullet holes. And so the Russians went on their way to the next batch of whatever they're going to dispatch. And so, as soon as the Russians left, the people were in very sadness. They turned away. Everybody turned away. And when the first person who came back to the spot where these Hindu gurus were slaughtered didn't find them. They were not there. There was no blood there. There was nothing at all there to indicate, maybe some holes in the wall, but there was no blood, there's nothing to indicate those Hindus had, and they were seen being murdered, you know, seen being slaughtered. Now, why did they allow themselves to be slaughtered? They allowed themselves to have this appearance of being slaughtered because that's what these Russians needed. I shouldn't say Russians, that's what these bandits needed, you know. They needed that experience. And to have that experience, they created them being apparently slaughtered, and they weren't. Now, why weren't they? They were having fun. You read Illusions by Jonathan Livingston Seagull, you read Illusions by Richard Bach, right? That's the second book. And in that, what did he do? He got shot. Donald Simoto got shot, and really shot. Blood all over his plane, mess. And the next thing Richard saw Donald, how was Donald? His airplane was in ideal condition. His body was in ideal condition. He was not dead, you know. But for the people, they needed to have that experience. And so he let himself participate in it. Interesting. Now, philosophers love to argue with themselves, and they love to say that they're attitude or their way of looking at things is the right way, that their way is the only way to consider. And because they like to do that, they miss out on living their philosophy. They miss out on having their philosophy come alive and be something real for them. Now, how do they miss out on that? How do they miss out on having it be something real for them? They miss out on from very one simple thing. The revelation of the act, you might say. The revelation of the act of the fulfillment of whatever their philosophy is. Is your philosophy, I am wherever I choose to be? Is your philosophy, I am whatever I choose to be, whatever I choose to be? I am however I choose to be? I am whoever I choose to be? I am that right now? Now, who do you choose to be? Who do you want to be? What do you want to be? Where do you want to be? Why do you want to be? Who, what, when, where, why, and how? What? What is, you don't even know. You say, I'm Sybil Agabwa. You say, I'm a happy woman, I'm this, I'm that, I'm so tall, and what have you. And that's not you. Who you are is the ideal idea of who you are. You're the ideal idea of, let's say, a woman. You're the ideal idea of a being. I say, are you the ideal idea of a being?
Yeah.
If you're the ideal idea of a being, what's there to argue?
Nothing.
What's there not to like about the ideal idea of a being? Yeah? So, when you are the ideal idea of a being... Now, Sybil, take a moment further for me. Take a step further for me and tell me what I'm thinking. You're the ideal what?
Woman.
What?
Ideal being.
And you're the ideal what? No, don't just jump on her bandwagon. Or.
I am the ideal idea of my being.
Well, you're getting closer. I am the ideal. Not being, not anything, not any concept, not any conceptualization. You're the ideal what?
I am the ideal.
I'm the ideal all. And the ideal is. You see, that's philosophy. That's real philosophy. Because you cannot contest it. You cannot pit it against itself. You cannot define it. You cannot discuss it. There's no way to make it make any sense to you. But yet it makes all sense. I am the ideal allness. I am the ideal all. I am the ideal is. I am the ideal. And then if you wish, I am the ideal Sybil Agabwa. I am the ideal...
Ideal me.
I am the ideal me. No, that's really good. That's a good tool. I am the ideal me. Mm-hmm. You see? So, you see, when we get to that point, then we are no longer arguing philosophy. We are living it. For how can two people, three people, a dozen, discuss the ideal me? What is the ideal me? There are no words that can surround that idea. There are no concepts that can include that idea. There are you don't even know what the ideal allness is. You don't even know what the ideal anything is, you know? Because it is just so lovely, so fulfilling, so all, you know? Now, you want to play as a human being on earth, all right? I am the ideal human being. That's not bad. Now you say, I'd rather say I'm the ideal divine. No, you don't. No, you don't. You want to be right here on earth. You want to be right here, right now, doing what you're doing. You want to be playing around with your grandkid. You want to be playing around with your family, grandkids. You got two grandkids now. You want to be playing around with these things in your world. What do you want to be playing around? You want to be playing around with your hospital patients. You love going in there. You love having your nurses look up at you and say, oh, miss, you know, and that's fine. That's fine. But, you see, you'll get to the point where that's immaterial, where that does not touch you. It does not excite you. It does not make you feel. You will not argue it any longer. You will say, I am the ideal all. Ideal me, ideal all, ideal one. You see, as long as you're holding on to me, what are you? A uniqueness in the allness. As long as you're holding on to a being or a woman or a man or anything like that, or Sibyl, you're a uniqueness. Now, that's good. That's being human. And you want to be human because that's what you've created yourself being. And you are creating yourself being all the time by eating and drinking and sleeping and breathing and stuff like that. But you arrive at the point where you're the allness. And you transcend levitation, teleportation, you transcend eating, you transcend all. But in this transcendence, you can be all and be aware of all and not be what you are aware of, or you can be aware of and be whatever you can conceive allness to be or humanness to be. And as you are aware of this and are untouched by this, then what happens? Then you are the ideal
allness.
No, you're the ideal human or the ideal being. You're not the ideal allness, because the moment you try to particularize into being something that you can readily work with, them, you know, you're the grandma, you know, or something like that. And the moment you realize that, then that's the game you're playing. Now, do you want to play that game? Well, apparently you do, because that's what you're playing. Now, you can stop playing that game anytime by putting a new cause in motion. And that new cause is, Eureka, I got it. I think she's got it. Yeah. I got it. I am the allness. Wow. And then it takes a while for it to sink in, because you are so habituated into the old ideas of thinking that you have to do things certain ways. And then you find out you don't have to do things any way at all. Just be yourself and have fun. And when you are yourself and have fun, then what happens? And life really is beautiful. Does any of this stuff make any sense to you?
Yes.
Yes. Now, listen closely. Let it talk to your heart. And be happy with it. Because it works. I love you. You're great.